Daf Pei Hei, 85. So we actually got to the Mishnah yesterday, so we'll start from there. Koinim She'en Yaisa, yeah? Pei Hei Amar Aleph.
Yeah.
So
you're starting from the Mishnah?
Yeah, the Mishnah. Koinim She'en Yaisa Al Pi Abba.
85A2.
Wow, there you go. Well, you okay. Kainam, now you're with me. Kainam She'eni Isa Alpi Abba. She makes a neder that she will, that she that what she does will be also. Sorry, what her father does will be also, what she does will be also to her father, Valpi Avicha, or to her, your father says to him, Valpi Ochi, or my brother, Valpi Achicha, or your brother. So she's making a vow over here that is making somebody else not be allowed to have benefit. Yeah, so she's saying that the stuff that I produce will be also to these people. So because she is not afflicting herself by saying that, so the husband cannot nullify such a vow because he only nullifies things where she afflicts herself. Huh? Yep. We have quoted this before, but we didn't. Yeah, so this part is probably reasonably obvious, but it's going to lead into the next part, which is not so obvious because we're going to have a machlokes. The next part is she'eni oisa al picha. What if she says that what I am going to produce is forbidden to you? So the first Tana says eni tzarech lahafer, which is what your immediate reaction would be, that because what she produces belongs to him by right, sort of. So therefore, she hasn't got the right to forbid him to have something that belongs to him. That's not how it works. And therefore, he doesn't even have to nullify it. It's not even a possibility that such a neder would take effect because it's not hers to aser. Yeah. So that's what Tanakama says. Rabbi Akiva Omer Yofer. Rabbi Akiva says he should anyway nullify it. Why? Shema tadi falav yosem in haroiloi. We learned in Ksubis that there were certain amounts of work that a woman was expected to do for her husband, for the general revenue, I guess you'd call it, for the wife. And what was that? 5 sellers weight worth of weaving. Yeah, the woman does. She's supposed to do, the default occupation of a housewife is to do weaving. So she was supposed to weave 5 slotim of wool. Yeah. So she's, the work that she's supposed to do, that's part of the marriage contract, is that she does a certain amount of work, and the benefits of that work belong to the husband. So that's all true, says Rabbi Akiva. Aber shema tadif olav yosem in haroiloi. If she does extra, that extra bit, by rights, belongs to her, because she's not obligated to do that for him. And therefore, if she does extra, and somehow he benefited from it, is if this vow, this
vow, that he should not benefit from that only, or from anything?
No, she said anything.
That doesn't come into anything.
Well, it's part of anything.
He might be chocolate biscuits.
Right, but everything is part of anything. Everything is part of everything, right? So what? No. One second. She says, "Any oyser, what I produce with my work." Yeah, that's what it means. So the bit that she produces with her work that belongs to him anyway, that's taka, no problem for him. He doesn't have to nullify that. But the bit that she might work overtime, yeah, which doesn't belong to him, if he doesn't nullify that vow, he will not allow to benefit from that overtime work.
When it said that a woman should do so and so for her husband minimum, that doesn't mean that the X-ray is not on.
Then the extra is hers. He's not entitled to the extra. She can give it to him if she wants, but she could keep it herself. Yeah. So therefore, it's
she has her own statement.
All right, but same idea. It's the same idea. Rabbi Akiva's What Rabbi Akiva is getting at is that not necessarily is everything that a woman produces belongs to the husband automatically. And therefore, because there might be some which will not belong to the husband, and if she makes a neder on it, that neder will work, and therefore the husband will not allow to benefit from it. So therefore, he's entitled to nullify it. Well, even if she doesn't know it, but she says it, so there you go. Okay, so that's Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says a different. He also says Yofer. He says also he should nullify it, but for a different reason. Not that he's talking about that she might do extra, but Shema Yigarshena, he might divorce her. Utehi Asura Alav, and he won't be able to remarry her, because the stuff that is belongs to him, that's Meshubah to him, is only the work that she's doing while they're married. Yeah, work that she will do after he divorces her has nothing to do with it, and therefore the neder will fall in when that happens. Yeah, and then when if he wants to remarry her, he's going to have a problem, because whatever she does will be also to him. Yeah, so therefore it's pretty hard to marry a wife where everything she does you're not allowed to have. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says you better nullify it now. Okay, so that is the basic argument. We have three opinions. We have one opinion that says he doesn't need to bother nullifying it. We have Rabbi Akiva who says he needs to nullify it because she might do extra. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says he needs to nullify it because he might divorce her, and after the divorce, the vow will kick in. Okay, those are three opinions. Omar Shmuel says the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, halacha like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, the last opinion, that he should nullify it because after the divorce, the vow will kick in. Yeah? So the Gemara asks, so what are you saying here? She makes a neder now while she is married to him, and it will, what is she forbidding on him? Stuff that she'll produce after he divorces her. No, what he wants to remarry her. Or he wants to have benefit from her.
He's remarrying, whatever. He's remarrying her with a neder, you can't benefit from it.
The neder has, once he got divorced, the neder comes into effect. So now he wants to remarry her. All of a sudden, he's going to have a wife who he can't have any hana from anything she does.
And he can't nullify the koidmin, right? He can't.
When you divorce her, you don't remarry her.
It's unusual, but it happens.
It happens. So, just in case, he's saying. So he's saying, just in case. It doesn't say that he has to. Rabbi Yochanan says, just in case, he should nullify it now, because he might want to later, and he won't be able to if he doesn't. So he should. So those are the three opinions. Rabbi Shmuel Paskin is like Rabbi Yochanan Menuri. Frey the Gemara, so what does that mean? That she is nullifying in advance something that doesn't exist yet, because she's not divorced. Yeah. So the work that she's going to do when she's divorced is what we call a dover shaloi bala olam, something that doesn't exist. The question is, can you actually make a vow on something that doesn't exist? We know that a vow in general has to apply to an object. Yeah. What about an object that's only going to exist later and doesn't exist now? Can I make a vow on such a thing? So if you paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, who says that we'll have to worry, maybe 10 years from now he'll divorce her, and then the work that she does will be osur, that means that he's saying, even though at the moment that doesn't exist, yeah, that divorced lady, then nevertheless the vow, he says the vow now, and it's going to work when it happens. As lememra, this seems to imply the kasavar Shmuel, that Shmuel holds that adam makdish davar shaloi bala olam. Now the Gemara cheated a little bit here, because we're talking about nedarim, and he stuck in the word makdish, right? Which is the assumption. Okay, so at this point in time, the assumption is that hektish and nedarim is the same deal, because when a person makes something hektish, it's very similar to a neder. In fact, the word koinim is sort of like, it should be like hektish. That's what the word actually means. So therefore, the assumption is that nedarim and hektish is exactly the same. And if you say a person can make a neder on something shaloi bala olam, you could also make something hektish shaloi bala olam. So that's the implication. If you hold up a Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, you must hold that it is possible to make hektish something that doesn't exist yet. That's very nice, but 1 minute. Uraminu, now I'll ask you a contradiction. Hamakdish ma'aseh de'ishtoi, we have the Mishnah that says, somebody who makes the produce of the hands of his wife Hektish. So he's making her stuff Hektish. Now, let's say we're in a position where she needs to, so she's doing stuff for herself. So the stuff that she needs for herself, the minimum amounts, everybody agrees that that doesn't, he can't make that hektish on her, yeah? Because...
The five's loan.
Yeah. Well, it, so there's different possibilities over here. She's able to say, if she wants to, she has the right to say, any oisava enu nizoinus. Yeah, so it's a, that's a little bit complicated over here. She has the right, this whole deal, that whatever she works, the salary goes to him, yeah, is in exchange for the fact that he is has to give her, supply her with food. Yeah, but it's up to her. It's for her, her benefit. She's got the choice here. If she says, I don't want to get your food and I don't want to work for you, then she has the right to do that. Yeah. So therefore, what we're saying here is that that amount of work...
It's all sorts of
lovely marriage.
Takes lovely marriage. She is obligated to do work for him, and he's obligated to feed her. You but if what? She decides that she doesn't want to,
let's
then
say
she doesn't.
She's a very independently wealthy girl. She says, "A pass me, I'm going to work for you. Yeah. I'm going to work for you. So give me this goodness. I don't care.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, so he's making her. If he makes Maisa Yedei Ishtei Hektish, it's not completely his. Even though he's entitled to the rights if he feeds her. Therefore, he cannot ask her... so therefore, even if we're talking about a woman who he does feed, but because technically she could cancel that arrangement anytime she wants, therefore he hasn't got the power to forbid that Maisa Yadayim, her work. Yeah, because she's the one holding all the cards here. Therefore, it's not up to him to say that it's awesome. Yeah, now, what about Hamoyser? What about if the extra bit that she does overtime? Is what about that? So the Chachamim were Mesakin, so the second part, if you remember in Shubas, we said that Maisa Yedei is corresponding to Mizoinus, and we said that overtime work, there was also a thing called a mor kesef that the husband gave her for pocket money. Yeah? So that was another trade-off, that the husband gives her pocket money, and then if she works overtime, he gets it. Yeah? So, now, they say over here, all the meforshim, that Rav Meir says hektish, that the leftovers, so that's not, the leftovers does not correspond to the Maisa Yedayim connected mizoinus. It's a separate thing. So that leftovers... So Rav Meir says he does have the power to make that hektish. Yeah? Now, the Gemara says it's a good Gemara somewhere, not here, but as the Mefarshim will bring, that Rav Meir says this hektish, when Rav Meir says it's hektish, he's talking about if she dies, it's hektish. And he's inheriting it. In other words, he cannot make it hektish while she's alive. They're only arguing about whatever's left over after she dies, when he inherits it. Is it hektish or it's not hektish? Is Rav Meir Omer hektish and Rav Yochanan Hasandlar Omer chulin? Chulin means not hektish. Right? So therefore, just to recap, what are we talking about over here? He is trying to make something hektish, but it's only going to be hektish, according to Rav Meir anyway, after she's dead. Now her death is a davar shaloi bala olam. Because she's still at the moment, she's alive. Her death is, the rumors of her death are greatly exaggerated. Greatly exaggerated. So therefore, it's something that doesn't exist yet. Yeah. So it seems similar to, just like when she's married to him, the divorced lady doesn't exist yet. When she's alive, the dead lady doesn't exist yet. Yeah. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, we know, always says he can do things with things that don't exist yet. He even says a normal kinyan you can buy and sell things that don't exist yet. And Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, why is it chulin? Because at the time when he tried to make it hektish, it didn't exist yet. And you cannot make things hektish that don't exist. That's what Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says. V'yomar Shmuel, comes along Shmuel based on that argument, And he says, Allah Rabbi Yochanan Hasandla. And he says, I paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Hasandla. Alma, so we see that according to Shmuel, Einadam Makdish Dovah Shloba La'ilam. He cannot make something hektish that doesn't exist yet. So in our Mishnah, he paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, who said that he needs to nullify the vow, even though the vow that she made when he divorces her and the divorce later doesn't exist yet. Shmuel says, yeah, it's a problem. He better nullify it, because a person could be making a vow on something that doesn't exist yet. And here he's passing like a Rebbechen and Hasandlar, who says that a person cannot make a hektish on something that doesn't exist yet. So Shmuel seems to be contradicting himself. So he will try to answer, says the Gemara. Kika Omar halachak Rebbechen Menuri al hadafa hudaka Omar. Let's go back to what Shmuel said in our Mishnah halachak Rebbechen Menuri. When he says halachak Rebbechen Menuri, he doesn't mean that the stuff that she does when she's divorced is osur because she could make a vow on something that doesn't exist. No, he passes like him in the yofer part, yeah, that he's supposed to, that he should nullify the vow, but not because of the reason that Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, who says he can make a vow on something that doesn't exist yet, but the reason is because she might do extra, like Rabbi Akiva said. So that's what Shmuel's
he's
saying.
He's only talking about the extra stuff.
Yeah, so he's saying that hadafu de ka'amar, that really you cannot make a vow on something that doesn't exist yet. Why does he have to nullify this vow? Because you might do extra. Yeah, and she does exist. She doesn't exist as Miss Divorcee, but she does exist as Mrs. Shmerl. Yeah, so therefore he has to nullify that part. So that's what Shmuel means. So Shmuel is consistent and says that you cannot make a vow, you cannot make a hektish on something that doesn't exist. Why does he nullify the vow? Because you might do extra. So the Gemara says, how could that be what Shmuel meant? Yeah, is if so, as lema, why doesn't he say halacha Rabbi Yochanan Menuri b'ha'adafa? If he holds like Rabbi Yochanan Menuri in the aspect that Rabbi Yochanan Menuri said he has to nullify the vow, but he doesn't hold with him in the reasoning that about that when she's divorced the vow will kick in, then he should say so. He should say the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan Menuri because it regards to the extra work that she might do.
This Menuri is different from the Sandler,
yeah? Yeah, it's different.
Was he a Sandler actually?
I guess that's why they called him a Sandler. Yeah.
The different generation.
The shoemaker. The Schuster. The Schuster.
Yeah.
It's Inami. Or he could say that the halacha is. Let's get the editing right here. He could say, Ein halacha kitanakama. Or he could say, I don't agree with the Tanakama. The Tanakama said that he doesn't have to bother nullifying it. If he holds that you do need to bother nullifying it because of the leftovers, he could have used the words that halacha is not like the Tanakama. Inami, or if you really wanted to be clear, he could have said halacha Rabbi Akiva, because that's exactly what Rabbi Akiva said. Yeah? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan Menuri both agree that he should nullify the vow, but for two different reasons. For two different reasons. As if Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Akiva's reason, what's he doing saying halacha Rabbi Yochanan Menuri? Why doesn't he just say halacha Rabbi Akiva? Yeah. So it seems to be that Shmuel is saying I agree with Rabbi Yochanan Menuri for his reason. Yeah. That what? That when she's divorced, the vow will kick in. So he's saying that a vow can kick in on something that doesn't exist at the time when the vow was made. So what's going on here? Elam Rabbi Yosef. Now Rabbi Yosef comes back and says, "Hang on, you're cheating. You started off talking about vows, Nidorim, and now you've gone on to Hektish, and you just threw them together and hoped that I wouldn't notice." Says Rabbi Yosef, no, shiny coin mois. A neder is different from a Hektish. Why? Because Hoyel v'odom oiser peres chaveri alav. We find that you can do weird things with Nidorim, yeah? That not only can you take your thing and make it osur to somebody else as a vow, but you can take someone else's thing and make it also to you. Okay, yeah, but usually,
yeah, but you
can I
control.
Take your thing? Yeah, but can I take your thing and make it hektish?
But are you asking the chayfets? You're asking the gavre.
Chayfets. Neder is on the chayfets. Yeah. So if I can take your chayfets and make it osur on me, is oyser nami. So therefore, it's neder is stronger than hektish. I can't take your thing and make it hektish, but I can take your thing and make it osur with a neder.
But at least you have some involvement. There's the you involved. With Pliny's thing, to make it hectic, it's obviously
I know that, but just follow through. Yeah, that's true. That's true, and that's what it is going to say. That's what we're going to get to that. But at the moment, Rabbi Yosef is saying that by the same way that your neder can be chal on someone else's thing, albeit regarding you, that you know that it becomes osur to you, and it's an osur mamish. Yeah, I took Yirmi's thing and I made it osur mamish. It's mamish osur. It's not just a. And the chefze is osur on me. It's not just something that I'm not allowed to do. Yeah, is if so. That it's stricter in a way. It's easier to make a neder bichal than a hektish. I can't walk into Rishon and say that chocolate biscuit is going to be hektish because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Yirmi. But if I go in there and say that I'm making a neder that I'm not going to eat that chocolate biscuit, yeah, then I can do that, even though it's Yirmi's chocolate biscuit at the moment. Yeah. So therefore. Is oyser nami davash labala elam alav. So if I can make Yirmi's thing osir on me, why not make something that doesn't exist? It's one step further. Yeah, I can make something that I don't own osir on me. Okay, so I can make something that doesn't exist osir on me also. So nedarim is easier. Has a wider nedarim casts a wider net than hektish. So you can't ask a kasha on nedarim from hektish.
Either you can make something non-existent, or you can't. But one doesn't follow automatically from the other.
No, but hektish and nedarim is two different things. And neder is easier to apply to a wider range of things than a hektish is. So just because you can't make hektish something that doesn't exist, doesn't mean you can't make a neder on something that doesn't exist. It's omalei abayis. Abayis says back to Rabbi Yosef. One second. Bishlama adam oser peres chaveri alav. I can make Yirmi's chocolate biscuit oser on me. So hare adam oser peresav al chaveri, because just like I can make my chocolate biscuit oser to him. In other words, either the biscuit is mine or I am mine. Is what Yirmi was saying? Yeah, it's either I'm involved somehow. Either it's me or the chayfetz or me are part of the deal here. But can I take someone else's thing and make it oser on him? No. Ela yes adav shalav bala elam al chaveri. If you're trying to tell me that I'm making something osur on somebody else, and that thing doesn't exist also. If you want to compare the cases of Rabbi Yosef, then what you have to compare is me saying that Yirmi's not allowed to have benefit from his chocolate biscuit. Now that would be the same thing as making something that doesn't exist hektish. Yeah, because you're making it osur on others. You're not involved at all. So Rav Huna Ben Avishua says, no, what are we talking about over here in our Mishnah? The Mishnah which says that it's chal is ba'omeres when she says, yikotru yodai lo'oseihen. She's saying that my hands will be holy, will be hektish. When she says that the neder that's not benefiting.
She means
no, she sees yodeho mamish. And because you're deho mamish, she's actually making her hands as the neder. It's not the airy fairy produce which doesn't exist yet. It's the hands themselves which are making osur. The yadayim ha'isnahu ba'olam, and the hands exist now, even though she's not divorced yet, but her hands exist. So therefore, the neder is applying on the hands which are existing. Fred the Gemara, one second. V'chi amra hachi kotcho. Does that work? If she says, right now she's married, and she says, my hands should be osur, yeah, to God, yeah? Not to God, but for the sake of God.
Consecrated.
Yeah? Consecrated. How can she make her hands osur right now? V'hamishabdin yodeha labal. Right now, while she's married, her hands are they're spoken for. They're owned, they're meshubed, they're obligated for the husband. Yeah? So what are you going to tell me? The Amra l'chimagarsha. Again, you have to go back and say that what you're saying is that my hands will be osur when I get divorced. Is vaiter hashta mi alei magarsha. So we're back to her. Yeah. So say now she's not divorced. Yeah. So therefore, what are we saying that? And that's the case where you want to say that it's chal. Yeah, that if she says my hands will become osur to my hands are osur, and he's that, as a neder. Yeah, and she says, I want it to take effect when I'm divorced, and therefore it's not going to be belonging to the husband. Who says that when she says such a thing, it works? Top of the page. Is Omar Rav Ela. Rav Ela says, let's compare it to a case of buying and selling a field. Yeah, a person says to his friend, this field that I'm selling you, when I buy it back from you, taktish, it becomes holy, it becomes hektish. Is milay kotcha? Can't I do that? So right now I own the field, and I'm selling it to you, and I'm saying that when I buy it back, it's hektish.
Even though we don't know that he's ever going to buy it back.
No, but it's when I buy it back, it's hektish, so it works. So the same thing will be that she can say that my hands, later on when you divorce me, will be hektish, will be a neder. It's maski for Rabbi Yirmiya. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, just a second, how are you comparing it to buying a field and saying, when I sell it, I'm gonna and I buy it back, I'm gonna make it hektish? Mi domi? Is it similar? Sada zushani moichalach. When he says this field that I'm about to sell you is hashte biyadehi, that right now when he says it, the field is with him. Yeah, he sells it and buys it back, and it's gonna be again with him. So therefore, if he says it's hektish now, because he could just make it hektish and cut out the middleman, yeah, because right now it's his, therefore when he says that, you know, I'll sell it to you for a while and buy it back, and then the hektish will kick in, therefore it works. But Isha, biyada lahaktish masiya deha, she's not able to do it now, she can only do it later. So there's a difference between you could do something now and you decide to do it later, versus you couldn't possibly do it now even if you wanted to. Yeah, how can you compare those two things? Halay dami. What it is similar to is Ella La'ima Lachavere, when he says to his friend, Sada Zusha Macharti Lacha, this field which I already sold to you, Lichasha'ech Kachena Mimcha Taktish, I want it to be hektish when I buy it back. Mi Kotcha, and does that work? So why should hers work, yeah? Right now it's not his. I've already sold it to somebody else. When I've already sold it to somebody else, I cannot say it's going to be hektish when I buy it. Yeah, because it doesn't exist yet, my ownership of it. So therefore, the same thing should apply to hers. Now, this discussion goes for quite a bit, so maybe we'll leave it over here, and we'll continue tomorrow.